Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Then one would be a little disappointed at the time of death.
So we have to practice these activities. They help us to fix our consciousness upon Krishna, and we can judge how close we are to success and how much we're actually aware of Krishna. And certainly at the time of death, when the body and the mind are most disturbed, then one has to be very strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness not to become bewildered or disturbed by such a situation. So one has to be quite absorbed, quite advanced, to become eligible to go back to the spiritual world at the time of death. Anything else? Yes. Well, it's like you might as well take the gamble, take shelter of Krishna, because if your body and mind are giving you difficulty, you're not going to be get very much benefit taking shelter of your body and mind. So when I take the chance, take shelter of Krishna. Why not try and chant Hare Krishna a little bit more sincerely? You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. Faith is developed by practical surrender. You may not have full faith, but if you have some faith, then utilize that whatever some faith you have and exchange it, utilizing Krishna consciousness, and then you'll get more faith. Utilize your copper coin in Krishna's service and Krishna will give you a silver one. And utilize your silver one in Krishna's service and he'll give you a gold one. Utilize the gold one, he'll give you a diamond one. And utilize the diamond one, he'll give you himself. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, in proportion to your acceptance of pure devotional service, to that proportion you're not influenced by karma. Yeah, mixed devotional service is not pure devotional service. So, the purer it is, the purer my consciousness is, the more I'm in Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna will direct me. But if we're attached to a result, then Krishna may give us that result eventually. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 14, King Chitraketu's Lamentation, Text Number 55. Na hi kramash ched iha mrityu janmano sharirinam astu tad atma karmavi ya sneha pasho nija sarga ridaye swayam kritas
te tam imam vivrishasi. Nahi kramas chariha mriti janmano. Shri rinam astu taratma karma bi. Yaksneha pasho nija sarga vidaye. Swayam kritas te tam imam vrichisasi. Na, not he, indeed, krama, chronological order, chet, if, iha, in this material world, mrityu, of death, janmano, and of birth, shiririnam, of the conditioned souls who have accepted material bodies. Astu, let it be. Tat, that. Atma karma be. By the results of one's karma, fruit of activities. Yaha, that which. Sneha pasha, bondage of affection. Nijasarga, your own creation. Vridaye, to increase. Swayam, personally. Kritaha, made. Te, by you. Tam, that. Imam, this. Vivrishchayasi, you are cutting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruit of activity. However, if fruit of activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or a god. Again, if you say the controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, when they answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Prabhu, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, karmani nirdahati kintu chabhakti bhajam. One who is taken to Krishna consciousness, devotional service, is not affected by the results of karma. In this verse, karma has been stressed on the basis of karma mimamsa philosophy, which says that one must act according to his karma, and that a supreme controller must give the results of karma. The subtle laws of karma, which are controlled by the supreme, cannot be understood by ordinary conditioned souls. Therefore, Krishna says, That one who can understand him and how he is acting, controlling everything by subtle laws, immediately becomes freed by his grace. This is a statement of Brahma Samhita. Karmani nirdahakti kintu javakti bhajam. One should take the devotional service without reservations and surrender everything to the supreme will of the Lord. That will make one happy in this life and the next. Nahi kramas chet iha mriti janmano shiriri namastu taratma karma bi yaksneha pasho nija sarga vridaye swayam kritas te tam imam vrichis shasi. My Lord, you may say that there is no law that a father must die in the lifetime of his son, and that a son must be born in the lifetime of his father, since everyone lives and dies according to his own fruit of activity. However, fruit of act activity is so strong that birth and death depend upon it, there is no need of a controller or a god. And yet, if you say the controller is needed because the material energy does not have the power to act, One may answer that if the bonds of affection you have created are disturbed by fruit of action, no one will raise children with affection. Instead, everyone will cruelly neglect his children. Since you have cut the bonds of affection that compel a parent to raise his child, you appear inexperienced and unintelligent. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharne Nirvise Sa Shunivadi Paskatya De Sitarne Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Adita Vishakti Ki Jai Lord Laganath Lord Bhavadev Srimati Subhadrevi Ki Jai Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai This philosophy of karma mangsa was also expressed by Lord Krishna to his father Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd boys, the other cowherd men, when they were about to perform the Indra Jaga or Indra Pooj. As an argument, Krishna was saying to his father that what is the need of worshipping Indra? Since Indra, he is simply one of the demigods, he is obligated to award the fruits of our activities. That if a man performs a certain activity, then the demigods are obligated, under the laws of the material nature, to award that activity. Therefore, there is no need to worship Indra. Actually, we're not dependent upon Indra. We're dependent upon the land, the cows, and Govardhan Hill. And besides that, he told his father that the three modes of material nature are actually the supreme within this material world. That we depend upon the clouds, which are produced from the mode of passion. And they pour rain upon the earth, but these same clouds also pour rain upon the water. So whether we worship Indra or not, still there will be clouds and they'll pour water somewhere, whether on the land or on the water itself, on the ocean. Therefore, there's no need to worship Indra. Better for us to perform our duty and worship the cows in Govardhan Hill and the Brahmins. This is called Karma Mimamsa philosophy. It was expounded by Jaimini, one of the disciples of Vyasadeva. When Vyasadeva wanted to present the Vedas for the welfare of the people in general, he divided it up into four different Vedas. Originally there was one Veda, but he divided it up into four. And Jaimini took one of the Vedas and explained through it Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which emphasizes ritualistic sacrifices or activities in order to get certain results within the material world, better known as Karma Mimamsa. So this is all right from the point of view that those who are karmis, they will get the results of their work. That is the laws of material nature. That as one works in the material world, one accumulates a certain reaction, and that reaction is enjoyed in the course of time. Just like, for instance, if someone sows a seed within the ground, and he waters the seed, then gradually the plant will grow. And in the course of time, the person who planted the seed and watered it will eat the fruit of the plant. So in the same way, one's activities in the material world condition one in a certain way, and that conditioning results ultimately in a reaction, in some kind of fruit or some kind of reaction. But here in the Brahma Samhita, it mentions Karmani Nidahati Kintu Javati Bhaja. The only alternative for the cycle of action and reaction in the material world is the process of devotional service. Whether one performs vikarmic activities, that activities which are not sanctioned by the Vedas, or if one performs karmic activities, activities which will produce a positive result, which are sanctioned by, authorized by the Vedas, or if one tries to get free from all kinds of fruit of activity and to merge into the existence of the Supreme, this is all under fruit of activity. That is, fruit of activity means that according to what we do, there will be definitely a result in the future. That even our thoughts have their resultant reactions. Perhaps in Kali Yuga, it is said that thoughts do not produce the reaction that they did in the past, but thoughts will also influence our activities. The scientists have even seen that as soon as one thinks something, then immediately there's a certain small amount of activity that's produced. And the material world is created in such a way is that everything happens svabhaviki gyanabala kriya chaya. Everything happens as a natural sequence. That if we turn a certain way, then naturally, or we turn this way, that way, that will influence what our situation will be in the future. So everything here has its action and result in reaction. Whether one is in the mode of goodness and furthers his advancement in the mode of goodness by activities which promote the mode of goodness, or if one is acting in the modes of ignorance and passion, one will further promote those particular modes. But if one acts transcendentally, then he goes beyond the material modes of nature. In other words, if one is acting for Krishna and for Krishna only, then the result is that one becomes liberated from the actions and reactions of his activities. Basically speaking, the whole material world is based upon the desire to be the Lord here and the controller. So if that mood is removed of being the Lord and controller, and instead one thinks himself to be the servant of the Supreme, then it says, Brahmandyadaya kamini sangam tyaksva karotiya lipyatena sapapena padma patrimi vambasa. That a person who sacrifices everything for Krishna, he's not affected by his sinful actions, just like the lotus leaf is untouched by water. So our sinful actions mean our absorption in this body. Everyone in conditioned life is absorbed in this body, and the body means that automatically will be absorbed in different types of misery. And this attachment within the heart keeps us bound to bodily and mental consciousness. So this material conceptions that pass through our mind of enjoying and controlling, and the physical sensations arising from this body, producing different types of so-called happiness and distress, these are all the result of our previous sinful or pious activities. But if one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, if one actually becomes conscious of Krishna, then whatever situation his body is under, he won't be disturbed because his actual experience is on a different platform. Therefore, Krishna says that whatever you do, yad karoshi, yad ashnashi, yad jahoshi, dadasi, yad. He says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer and give away, do that as an offering to me, because in this way, shubha shubha pala evam mokshase karma bandhanai. Then mokshase karma bandhanai, one becomes free from the actions and reactions of his previous and present activities. Instead, one becomes conscious of Krishna, which is the basic principle of liberation. Consciousness of Krishna means also to gradually become conscious of our own identity, to be conscious of the spiritual plane of existence where Krishna enjoys with his transcendental associates. But that does not mean that one who becomes conscious of Krishna, one who comes to the transcendental platform, then everything on the material platform is different. It may be different, it may not be different, but as Lord Brahma has prayed, tatte nukam pam susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam tadvag vapuvira vididas maste jiveti yat bhuktisa eva dayavak. That one who tolerates the miseries of material existence, realizing that this is simply the result of our previous activities. Nothing in the material world can possibly happen by accident. Everything is being done
under the will of the Supreme Lord, exactly befitting our previous and present activities. Of course, for the devotee who's sincere, who's praying to the Lord for advancement, his present situation serves as an impetus for his making further advancement in spiritual life. So whether it comes in the form of pain, just like we can find that there are great devotees like the Pandavas, Prahlad Maharaj, they were subjected to all different types of misery, although they were eternally liberated souls. But they show us the example of how to make progress in the midst of difficulty in the material world. Even Queen Kunti, she prayed that... what was her prayer? Let's start. Vipadak shantu takshasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavata napunarnasyat apunar bhavadarshana. That I wish that we can see all these calamities again and again, so that we can see you again and again, because by seeing you, there'll be no more repeated birth and death. The idea is that generally when one is in difficulty, if he's pious, he naturally thinks of God or Krishna. Naturally, when experiencing the miseries of the material existence, he becomes detached from this material body and mind, realizing that they're a bad bargain, that there's no future in trying to enjoy them. And naturally, he takes refuge in Krishna as the only alternative. But we also see in the case of someone like Sudama Brahman, who is totally bereft of all material opulence, Krishna also gave him material opulence just so that even in the midst of enjoyment, he could actually be attached to Krishna. He shows that being too detached from material existence, that is also not good if one is simply detached without being conscious of Krishna. That the real test is that even in the midst of allurements, then one is also attached to Krishna. It's one thing to be attached to Krishna in the midst of difficulty, that when one is in distress, one turns towards Krishna. But as soon as the distress is over, as soon as the difficulty is over, then one thinks, all right, everything is all right. It's a nice day outside, the sun's shining, the birds are chirping. You know, things aren't so bad. The conditioned soul forgets very quickly how miserable material existence is, and as soon as there's some opportunity to enjoy, immediately he takes it up. Oh, let me enjoy. But Krishna showed that also, even in the midst of opulence, one also has to become attached to Krishna, remain attached. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, Siddhama Vipra serves the example how, even in the midst of splendor and opulence, one also has to remain attached to Krishna. And just like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. And when he achieved liberation and became completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, still Krishna gave him the pole star planet. Still he gave him the opportunity to remain on this earth planet for tens and thousands of years as its ruler, and then eventually elevated him to the pole star planet. Therefore, if even one surrenders to Krishna, it is ultimately up to Krishna whether one will be presented with difficulty or with opulence in the material world. But the whole idea is that if one is conscious of Krishna, these things will not be of any bewilderment or confusion to the devotee, any source of disenchantment with Krishna, or any source of agitation or disturbance. He'll realize that whether he's given opulence or distress, it is all part of Krishna's plan to help elevate him to the purest state of Krishna consciousness. But it's for a non-devotee, one who's absorbed in this body and this mind rather than in Krishna, one whose motivation is to increase his opulence and to avoid material suffering, one who acts in ignorance, unmindful of the laws of material nature, or even mindful of the laws of material nature, his action or reaction will be dependent upon the laws of nature. Then whatever he does, under the jurisdiction of the laws of material nature, he has to face the reaction. On the other hand, if one takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna will guide one, and Krishna himself will determine what the results will be. Therefore, the karma monks of philosophy is true for those who aren't Krishna conscious, those who don't take shelter of Krishna, those who think that the laws of material nature are supreme. They do get their result. But those who take shelter of Krishna, then the laws of material nature, in proportion to their taking shelter of Krishna, no longer apply to them. We can't think that devotional service is something official. Now I'm an official devotee. I have a sika or I have a dhoti or a sari, and now whatever I do is divine. No, because whatever I do is divine, therefore I'm a devotee. Not that because I'm a devotee, whatever I do is divine. Therefore, if we do, in proportion to what we do in service to Krishna under the proper guidance, then to that extent Krishna, he assumes control of the devotee and guides him. In other words, as much as we want Krishna's guidance, to that extent he gives it. And to the extent that we're under Krishna's guidance, to that extent we're not responsible for the actions and reactions that will occur. Not responsible means that Krishna will protect us from any kind of action reaction by keeping us engaged in devotional service in consciousness of Him. But even as devotees, if we do things whimsically, then neither will that activity will serve as an impetus to engage in devotional service, nor will it help remind us of Krishna and the spirit of devotion. So for a devotee, the aim of life is not to acquire material opulence, is not to get a comfortable position in the material world, nor is it simply to avoid the distresses of material life. The whole aim of a devotee is meant to serve Krishna in full consciousness of Him. And if one works in that consciousness, then that's the result. He becomes more and more conscious of Krishna, and he doesn't care so much about what his material situation is, or the importance of his material situation diminishes in proportion to his advancement in consciousness of Krishna. And one who's not striving for consciousness of Krishna, then he'll simply strive either for vikarmic activities and therefore face unlimited suffering. He may strive for karmic activities, follow the Vedas, and therefore maybe elevate his position in the material world to a slightly less suffering. Or he may even try for liberation and end his material existence, but also end his opportunity to become conscious of Krishna. Therefore, the only safe position is that of a devotee of Krishna, the only auspicious position, and that position is obtained by trying to understand who is Krishna. What does he do here in the material world? Because after all, what he does here, he comes here basically to show us what we're supposed to be doing here. So if we understand what he's doing here, how he's working, how he's acting, his purpose of coming here, then we can understand who we are, what we're supposed to be doing here, what our purpose of being here is. Because Krishna explains this within the Bhagavad Gita, and he shows by his personal example how to live in the material world to gradually elevate one's consciousness. Whether he shows us how to study under his guru, Sandipani Muni, or he shows us how to live as a householder by marrying 16,108 queens in Dwarka. Of course, we cannot marry 16,108 queens. Of course, in this particular story, King Trijaketu married 10 million. But this would be quite difficult for us to do, because you'd have to marry, every day you'd have to marry so many thousands of women. So otherwise you wouldn't
be alive in time to marry so many, take so many thousands of women to marry every day, or hundreds at least. So this obviously is not, Krishna's married 16,108 queens, is not for us to imitate, but he lived in an exemplary way with each one of them, just to illustrate how an ideal householder should live and develop his spiritual consciousness, even in the midst of family life. Krishna would rise early in the morning, in spite of the protests of his queens. He'd sit and meditate on himself, because he's God, because we should not meditate upon ourselves, it said, because we're not God. We should instead meditate upon Krishna. He performed different types of sacrifices, gave in charity, went to the parliament house to do his service. So in this way, Krishna showed us how to live in the material world in an ideal way, and by doing that, cultivate the highest consciousness of Him, so that we can follow. And although, and such activities, in other words, our primary goal in life is to understand what activities are the most conducive to our remembrance of Krishna and our service to Him. And by understanding those activities, perform them, and therefore come to the platform of being conscious of Krishna. And if we become conscious of Krishna, then it will no longer be conscious of this material existence, at least not in the sense of being attached to it and therefore having it become the cause of our bondage and suffering. On the other hand, just to externally perform the activities of devotion without becoming conscious of Krishna means that we'll come back again to have another opportunity to perform those same activities and get another chance to try to become conscious of Krishna. So we should not only externally perform the activities of devotion, but we should also become conscious of Krishna. So, at the time of death, antikale tamam eva smaran mukva kale varam yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya. So at the time of death, we can remember Krishna and Krishna only, see everything in relationship to Krishna, and not in the relationship of our sense enjoyment or proprietorship, and therefore be eligible to go back to the spiritual world. And even we come back again, but still we'll be in the spiritual world. One who goes to the spiritual world, even he takes another material body, he doesn't actually exist in this material plane of existence. He eternally exists on the spiritual plane. So this is our goal, is to come to that spiritual platform of consciousness. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. No. If one is not Krishna conscious, then he'll come back to the material world again. Of course, it's hard to imagine that someone throughout his whole life will follow the four of the principles and engage himself strictly in devotional service and not become conscious of Krishna. The idea is that we should, by performance of our activities, become aware of Krishna. But it's possible that one will, in other words, generally devotional service is executed over many lifetimes. But still the process is so potent that if one sincerely tries to understand it and practice it, then even in one lifetime one can become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. But it doesn't happen automatically. It takes some practice and understanding, attempt to understand it. So Prabhupada, he tried to encourage us. He didn't want to discourage us. He didn't say, this is practically an impossible task. Out of 100 billion people, one may even become qualified to go back to Godhead after executing devotional service. Because if he said that, no one would even take it up. They would think, well, this is impossible. Who can do it? On the other hand, if everyone thought that you didn't really have to put any effort in, We just slide by, you slide back to the spiritual world. The good fairy would come with her magic wand and take you back. Then people wouldn't take it very seriously either. They think, you know, my dhoti's the right color, my hair is the right length, you know, I'm sure to go back to Godhead. Then one would be a little disappointed at the time of death. So we have to practice these activities. They help us to fix our consciousness upon Krishna, and we can judge how close we are to success and how much we're actually aware of Krishna. And certainly at the time of death, when the body and the mind are most disturbed, then one has to be very strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness not to become bewildered or disturbed by such a situation. So one has to be quite absorbed, quite advanced to become eligible to go back to the spiritual world at the time of death. Anything else? Yes. Well, it's like you might as well take the gamble, take shelter of Krishna, because if your body and mind are giving you difficulty, you're not going to get very much benefit taking shelter of your body and your mind. So when I take the chance, take shelter of Krishna. Why not try and chant Hare Krishna a little bit more sincerely? You have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. Faith is developed by practical surrender. You may not have full faith, but if you have some faith, then utilize that whatever some faith you have and exchange it, utilizing Krishna consciousness, and then you'll get more faith. Utilize your copper coin in Krishna's service, and Krishna will give you a silver one. And utilize your silver one in Krishna's service, and he'll give you a gold one. Utilize the gold one, he'll give you a diamond one. And utilize the diamond one, he'll give you himself. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, in proportion to your acceptance of pure devotional service, to that proportion you're not influenced by karma. Yeah, mixed devotional service is not pure devotional service. So, the purer it is, the purer my consciousness is, the more I'm in Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna will direct me. But if we're attached to a result, then Krishna may give us that result eventually. Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti.